Good evening. How's it going?
Good.
Oh, good. One whistle. My name's Nate. We're excited that you're at the well tonight. Thanks for coming out if you're a not normal person. Normal attender, I should say. That sounded rude. We have had an incredible semester, and we are super glad that we have friends and who are joining us here for our kind of last 2 weeks. I know, I did a thing. I'm sorry. Tonight, we're kind of taking a break. We just finished through a series on the book of Philippians, but tonight we're talking about a whole other thing, and tonight's talk is just called The Power of Thank You, and it's timely, right, because Thanksgiving's coming up, and we're going to talk about it. Hey, look at that. We did that on purpose. And I know there's a lot of high schoolers in the room tonight. Raise your hand bravely, boldly. Yes. How does my eye go directly to Mary Brown, who's not a high schooler, and raising her hand? I just knew it. She's tiny. She looks like she's four, but she's not. She's graduating in 1 week, and we're... go ahead, boo me. It's not going to change it. 1 week of classes, all right? Here's my advice, right? High schoolers, you're getting ready to go into life transition, right? You might not be going to college next year, maybe you're a junior, maybe you're a sophomore, but life transition's coming up, and here's my advice to you on all of this. You just gotta start embracing awkward, right? You gotta own awkward. You gotta make awkward work for you. Because when I was in high school, I was mortified all the time of being embarrassed, right? And you just gotta own it. You just gotta let awkward be a part of your life, and one that doesn't ruin your day. Because college is full of awkward, right? Like the first time you get locked out of your dorm room in your towel, awkward. You get it. The first time you accidentally walk out of the wrong doors in convo, all the lights come on. Security repels from... That doesn't happen. It's awkward. So there's things in college that are just built into it awkward. Another thing that happens a lot on college campuses, obviously people are moving to and from many buildings on campus, and you have that awkward door interaction, right, with people, right? So there's many examples of awkward door interaction. The first one is like two really nice people come to a door at the same time, right? And it's like, are you going to go? I'm waiting for you. Okay, come, ho. And then you do that. Ho, he, ho. And then finally, both of you decide at the same time, screw it. And you walk forward into each other, and then you fall in love. And that's how you, that's not true. So that's one. The other one is like when someone's trying to be really kind, and they're like 50 feet ahead of you, and they hold the door, and they look at you like they're doing you a big favor, and now you feel this social pressure to like run to not have them hold the door for 15 minutes. You're not doing me a huge favor, right? Like, now I'm out of breath, and I have to say thank you. And saying thank you is important when people open the door for you. This was true of me when I was at college here at AU. I had this like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation, because I was like always, I want to open doors for people. I want to be that guy. I'm going to serve people in the name of Jesus, right? So I had Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, though, because if they said thank you, I'd be like, oh, you're so welcome. But if they didn't say thank you, I would like blow, my mind would explode, right, with rage, which is just like Jesus probably. But yeah, I would always do the thing where I would like open the door and be like, after you, and if they said thank you, I was like super suave. Oh, chante, mademoiselle, it's no problem. It's just my duty to serve the Lord. I don't know how that happened. Whatever. But if there was no thank you, I would be like, mother! And then try to grab them by the back of the hoodie. Come back out here. Close the door. Open your own door, highness. I got better things to do than hold the door open for you. Hey, Spencer, welcome. Good job on your thesis. So, it was really good. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the power of thank you and how actually just saying thank you to someone can transform their whole day, right? And it can actually transform us from the inside out. And our text tonight is from the Gospel of Luke. So if you brought a Bible, or if you want to have a Bible in front of you, they're in the pews in front of you. We're also going to have it on the screen behind us, okay? But we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 17. I think I'm a little hot. You hear that? Oh, thank you. And we're going to be reading two stories that are back-to-back. One is a parable, and one is a real thing that actually happened in real life, okay? So Luke 17, starting at verse 7, that's where our first parable begins. It's going to be on the screen, like I said, behind me. This is the word of the Lord. So this is Jesus speaking. He's telling a parable to his disciples. He says this: suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now, sit down to eat? Or would he rather not say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you've done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. All right? So if this is confusing, because we're doing a sermon on thank you, and Jesus is telling this parable to his disciples saying, don't expect a thank you, right? When you serve people, when you're doing your job, don't expect a thank you. And it's a little perplexing. The first time I heard this passage of scripture spoken, I had just spent the entire summer serving on a mission trip, like 3 months. It was insane. I worked 90-hour weeks. We worked 6 days a week. I was exhausted mentally, physically. I had like cried and been angry and happy and like weird happy, you know, when you get like slap happy. That was like 3 weeks of my whole summer. It was just like, because I didn't have enough sleep, and it's important. And I get to the end of the summer, and our director preaches from this, and she's like, don't expect a thank you. What do you want? Right? And I was like, oh, no, she didn't. No, I was like, it actually was like, oh, wow. Like, it really actually challenged me in an amazing way. And I was like, yeah, right? Like, I was serving Jesus, right? Like, I was a missionary. What do I expect? Like, a parade and some cookies? Like, I have an opportunity to serve Jesus. It's my honor and my privilege to serve Jesus. And I think we get it backwards, right? I think sometimes we want, like, kudos for doing stuff that we just ought to do. Quick example. So, as many of you know, my beautiful wife, Leah, has been mentoring this girl with the YMCA for several years. Her name's Sadie. I talk about her a lot. She's adorable. And recently, we had her over at our house. We pick her up every other week and hang out with her for a few hours. And we were sharing with her that Leah and I are pregnant, right? And so we were saying, things are going to change. There's going to be a baby around. We're going to need you to help out. You know, doing that whole talk of like, we need your help, buddy. And so one of the things I was doing with her was I was like, okay, so for example, dinner. We come and we feed you. I'm going to show you how to be a help to us. So I'd be like, pick up your plate, follow me. And then we did the whole thing, and I was like, you rinse off the plate, right? You put the plate in the sink, and then you don't just like smear sour cream over everything. Like, those are the three instructions. And I was just like, you know, from now on, I need you to help out in this way. And because she's 11 and because she's awesome, she goes, what do I get for it? Precious. Okay. Sweetie, what you get is not drop kicked in the head. Right? Like, that's the thing you get. Right? And we've all had that moment as children where we like say something like that to our parents and we're like, oh yeah, you could punch me. Like, I exist because, and all of it though is just a reminder of our, like, it's perspective for us on how this relationship works, right? It's perspective. In Jesus' parable, there's a master, right? He pays the servant. So he tells this parable, he says, even though the servant's been working all day and tending sheepies and doing all the things that servants do, when the master comes home, the master doesn't say to him, kick up your feet, you've had a long day. No, that's not what he says. He's like, you got to be bringing in my Egg McMuffin or whatever, like, Middle Eastern guys have for dinner. You know, like, And after that, you get to take a break. And it's not like you get a raise for that. That's your job. And I feel like every time I get into this scripture, I feel convicted, right? Because I am always looking up for heavenly applause whenever I do something for Jesus, right? Did you notice I was in the Word like 6 times this week, Lord? Okay. Put a little tally up or something. I don't know like what I want. But it's like, hey, this is my honor. This is my privilege. This is what I get to do. And so it's curious that all of us expect a thank you, right? We expect a thank you. We're going to go on to the next story. Immediately following this parable, Jesus moves on, and you're going to hear in the Word here what happens, okay? So verse 11 says this. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. That's like worth noting and talking about all of them in itself. We're not going to focus on that part of the story. But as they went, Jesus just said, "Hey, okay, you want to be clean? Go." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Amazing. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for a foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And what's really interesting about this story to me, not only is the fact that 10 people were healed and only one person bothered to come back and express gratitude, but what's super interesting to me is the fact that it came right after this parable, right? So this is what we have. We have a parable in which Jesus is saying, quit expecting a thank you all the time. And then we have a story in which 9 out of 10 people don't give thanks to God when they experience miraculous healing. And I think what happens is when you add those two together, like an equation, what it means for me is this, and it's incredibly convicting. 1, I want praise whenever I do good. 2, I'm unwilling to give thanks when God blesses me. You see that in those stories? 1, I want praise, I want a pat on the back, I want accolades. Whenever I do something, that's the will of God, He's the master. And 2, when the master blesses me, when he heals me, when he does incredible things in my life, oftentimes I don't take the time to come back and express thank you. So this is how the equation works. 1, we want praise, and 2, we're not thankful. The equal sign means I'm selfish, right? I think I'm the most important person on the planet. I must, if these two things are true. And this is actually where we get into the power of thank you. This is where we get into the fact that thank you actually can push back in radical ways against these two things that we all kind of have, right? We all have this tendency to want thanks and also not always be super grateful for the many blessings we've received. And this is how thank you fixes it. I want to share a brief story as a way of an analogy for this. Okay. I was in high school, like some of you at one point in my life, and I came from like real rural part of Ohio, and it was a big country. And fighting actually was kind of normal in our school. Like, not like everybody liked it, but it happened. You know, there were some good old boys down there, and they got in some slobber knockers, okay? And that was kind of like fine and commonplace, but the thing that always scared the bejesus out of me was when girls got in fights. That's just a whole nother mess, you know? It's like screaming and biting and clawing, and you think, where did a marmoset come? And you're like, oh no, it's just two girls. And you can't tell which one stops. And the thing about like girls getting in a fight is like they like, you know, whatever, they pull hair and they shank each other. I don't know what you guys do. Yeah, whatever. That it's really intense, right? And as a guy, you're kind of like, there's no way for me to get involved in this. Like, that's always bad, right? I don't know where to grab to get you out of here, and I don't want my face scratched off. I just got this face. And so I was in high school, and these two girls got into it, right? Just like crazy, pulling each other's hair, scratching each other's eyes, all that stuff. And everybody around felt completely helpless.
Right. I don't know. Let's just pray to Jesus. I don't know what to do.
You know, we're completely helpless until, right, Mrs. Robinson showed up. And what you ought to know about Mrs. Robinson is she is a huge woman. I'll qualify that. She's not overweight. She's like 6'4", stud. Like, I don't know if she was like an Olympian one point in her life. But she was an art teacher, so that makes sense. And she came in the room, poof, and just like walked through a sea of high schoolers. There was like all these people in between her and the fight, and she was just like, and everybody just like, wah. And she just parted the seas, and she just looked at these two girls and literally just picked them both up off the ground, dropped one of them, and took the other one outside. And I was like, well, that's the way to do it. You know, like, that's how you solve those problems. And it was amazing. And what I was thinking about afterwards was, A, you have a whole new respect for Miss Robinson, obviously. And B, the thing that was super cool about it was that the thing that we were all powerless to stop, it was easy for her to stop, right? Like, she wasn't worried about, like, touching and grabbing, and she was strong enough to come in and just, like, make this situation that seemed out of control, like, totally manageable. And I want to use that as an analogy for thank you. Like, sometimes we feel overwhelmed with thoughts, circumstances, all of these things vying for our attention, and we can feel like there's nothing to do. But I want to tell you, there is something that you can do. Thank you comes into the room, and the story gets changed quickly. I want to give you a few examples. The power of thank you. Thank you has the power to free me from my entitlement. Note takers, take note. Good job, Melanie. Right? Like, I all the time am reminded of how entitled I am until, like, whatever thing is removed. I was joking with Dan. I led a spring break mission trip last year, and unbeknownst to us, we were sleeping outside in the cold, in a tent, and it was Florida, and it was over spring break, but it was cold. Joe's mustache turned into an icicle, and we were freezing all night, and then on top of that, they had, like, these really nifty, like, showers that were made out of trash bags, and, like, a hose that would, like, dribble on your face, and, like, it was fine that there were frogs and, like, all these creatures everywhere, but what was not fine was the hot water ran out, like, day two. And so we are literally in these, like, just weeping, like, angry, cold showers. And I've joked with people that the most spiritual moment I had on the entire trip was when the hot water got turned back on. And we were like, pray the Lord! And we were singing God's praises because we had warm water to get the crap off of us. And we were just talking about, yeah, all you do is systematically remove everything that people have that make them comfortable, and they become more thankful. Look at that. And but that doesn't happen a lot in life, right? Like, there are so many things we take for granted. And the amazing thing about thank you is it draws our attention to it, right? And it allows us to put down entitlement and go, oh, yeah, I'm warm, and it's cold outside. That's good. You know, oh yeah, I don't have to like shovel a path out to my outhouse. Like, I can go ahead and poo inside. It's totally fine. Thank you, Jesus, for that. That's good. And all of a sudden, as we begin to get more and more thankful, our entitlement gets pushed down and put in its right place, right? So that's the first thing thank you does. Thank you also frees us from the lies of the enemy. This is huge, right? So Justin just shared this, like, kind of intense story, right, where his grandfather, who was a huge part of his life and a huge role model to him and someone that he loved dearly, passed away, you know? And this is what can happen. I've said this before at the Well, but for those of you who are new, this is the enemy's one strategy, divide and conquer. That's always what the enemy wants to do. He wants to isolate you and lie to you. Every time you see him at Scripture, he's doing those two things, isolating people, lying to people. Because you believe lies quicker when you're by yourself. If you're with a friend and you're like, hey, I was just thinking, is today like Wednesday? And they go, no, dummy, it's Thursday. And you're like, oh, yeah. Lies can grow in isolation, right? So this is what thank you does. Thank you actually pushes back when the enemy comes to attack you, right? Here's an example. So Justin could have felt, in the wake of his loss of his grandfather, he could have felt like the enemy was coming to him and saying, yeah, I guess God really doesn't love you after all, right? Why would he let something like this happen to someone you love, right? Why wouldn't he help you out? And you're alone in your grief, and you should feel bad about it, and you should feel bad about the fact that you're questioning and doubting God, and so on and so on. But thank you actually just cuts that all off. And you hear this amazing, powerful testimony that he has where he goes, I'm so thankful for his life. And that thankfulness silences and minimizes the voice of the enemy. When the enemy wants to come and say, God doesn't care about you, God doesn't love you, we push back with thank you. We push back and saying, are you kidding? I've got this amazing family. I've got this amazing community. There are all these things that he's proven his faithfulness time and time again. And once again, like Mrs. Robinson, the thing that seemed out of control, thank you puts into perspective, frees us from the lies of the enemy. Thank you also frees us. What's the other one? What's the next one? I forgot how I worded it. Frees me to serve with a pure heart. Okay, so remember the story at the beginning with opening the doors. If I'm opening the door and expecting applause, that's not serving with a pure heart, right? That's serving with mixed motivations. Or maybe just not mixed motivations. The goal was for me to receive praise rather than to honor Jesus or whatever, you know. So if we actually live out of a posture of gratitude, if we actually live out of a posture of thank you, people don't have to say thank you. Does that make sense? If I am thankful, I don't need people to thank me. Does that make sense? Right? So I can open the door and they can flip me the bird. Enchanté, right after you. You should get that finger looked at. You know, whatever. Because in that moment, I'm not dependent on them to reward me. I'm living out of thankfulness. It's my honor and my opportunity to serve the Lord, and I don't expect any applause to do this. We talked about the Sermon on the Mount earlier this semester, and Jesus clearly says in this sermon, if you do something expecting to get a thank you and you get it, that's all the reward you're ever going to get. But if you do something and it goes unnoticed, if you do something and you don't receive a bunch of accolades, great is your reward in the kingdom of God. This is the same idea, right? We live out of gratitude. We live out of thankfulness. And because of that, the world around us, they don't mess with our intentions. We get to serve with a pure heart because we're not looking for them to fill our need for attention. Lastly, thank you frees me to see Jesus more clearly. Maybe even the most important one, right? Because if I'm not living out of gratitude, if I'm not constantly amazed every morning by the fact that the sun is up again and giving life, and there's, you know, trees that are producing oxygen in the quad, and there's like music that we can listen to, and all of these amazing things, if I'm not living out of a posture of gratitude, if I'm not expressing thank you, then how can I be even more amazed by the demonstration of God's love through Jesus Christ, right? It helps me see it more clearly. If I can take time to be thankful for this, Then when I see the scope and the magnitude of Jesus' love demonstrated on the cross, then I go, amazing, right? That's my noise for being amazed, if you were curious, right? If we take opportunities to be grateful in the small things, when God comes in the amazing ways, we recognize how life-giving they are. And we become not the other nine that blow off Jesus, even though he's healed them and cleansed them. We become the one who comes back and says thank you. And here's the best news of all. When you live out of thank you, it produces joy, which gives you more reasons to be thankful. You see? It's like a circle. It's a circle of life. Hallelujah. I don't know why I did that. Okay. If we live out of thank you, we have more joy and more reason to be thankful. Does that make sense? So here's how it works in the story. Jesus comes, the one leper that is healed comes back and he says, thank you. And Jesus looks around, he's like, are you kidding me? This guy's a Samaritan. He doesn't even believe the same things we believe, and yet he gets this idea that he's supposed to come back and say thank you. And in the scriptures it says, rise and go, your faith has healed you, or your faith has made you well. Which, if you're reading, should be curious, right? Because didn't Jesus just cleanse all 10 of them? So I don't. And this is kind of reading into the text. The Bible doesn't say this, but I like this, okay? So leprosy, you might not know, it's a deteriorating skin disease, and sometimes the deterioration gets so bad that you, like, lose parts of yourself, right? You lose fingers, ears, your face. I don't know if a face can fall off, but if it can, leprosy is the way it happens, okay? And the scriptures say that when Jesus says to all 10 of them, show yourself to the priest, it says they're cleansed. But when this one guy comes back, the Greek word that he uses for healing is sozo. It's a holistic. It connotates a restoration, right? And so, again, this isn't in the scripture, but this is, I think, consistent with what Jesus is doing here. I think all 10 of them received cleansing, which means they didn't have leprosy anymore. But if they lost fingers, they still don't have fingers, right? They're cleansed of the disease, but still not whole. This person, this one person who comes back, receives holistic healing, which means if he lost anything, it grows back. Right? So this is how it works. Thankfulness can make us more whole, right? When we recognize the gifts of Christ in our lives, and we don't expect applause every time we serve him, but we just come and give gratitude for all the good things he's done for us, it actually heals us holistically. It heals us from the inside out. It heals us to say thank you, because then we realize we have so many more things to be grateful for, and we get joyful, and we say thank you again, and then that produces more joy. Right? I'm going to have the band come up, and we're going to kind of transition into taking some more time to just say thank you. You know, obviously Thanksgiving's coming up, and, you know, it's easy for us to rush past Thanksgiving because Christmas is, like, super neat, and everybody loves it. But I think in the next week or so, we have this real opportunity, right, to, like, reflect on how good the Lord has been. And the more that we practice gratitude, the more that we begin to do this spiritual discipline, the more God begins to heal us and reveal who he is to us. And the more joyful we become, and the more thankful we become. I guess I'll close with this story. Some of you know that I worked really hard to convince my wife to start dating me a long time ago. She was just not into it. Years of me, you want a date? Okay, I'll be right here. You want a date? No? Okay, good. And we finally started dating, and she was like, I don't know, I think I'm going to call it off or whatever. And her mentor, her cousin Renee said, well, why don't you like write a list down of all the things that you're thankful for that you see in Nate? And she's like, okay. So instead of dumping me, right, she started a list of like, these are the things I'm thankful for. Right? Okay. Surprise, surprise, the list continued to grow, right? And grew and grew and grew. And then she was like, I want to marry this guy. And I was like, yeah, obviously. Look at the list. And it's been something that's been like, that's been life for us, right? Like, we are madly in love with each other, and we like are so thankful that God lets us be together and happy and married and making babies all of a sudden, you know? Like, we get to do that because she started with a list of, man, I have things to be thankful for, right? So I'm thankful for mentors who give wise counsel. I'm thankful for reminders in my own life to say, stop, this situation that I think is stupid or out of my control, can I begin to write a list of the things that I see God doing, and would it be surprising to me to see that his hand is all over it and that he's moving in amazing ways? So that's what I want us to do. I want us just to be thankful. I want us to start making some lists. And maybe you're in a season that you feel like you can't do it, whatever. You know, like, stuff is too hard, you're too frustrated, you're too whatever. So we put together a little list, like it's a starter kit. It's like, it's to get you going, okay? But in the next few weeks, and as we continue to worship with one, again here at the end, I would just invite you to take some time to reflect, what are the things that I'm thankful for, and how can I express my gratitude to the God who loves me and saved me? So let's pray together. Jesus, I just pray that you take all the stuff that I just said and erase anything that wasn't about from you. And instead, I just pray that that we would use this opportunity to praise you and just remember and reflect on how good you are. I pray that you would help us to see your nearness in every situation. That you would help us not to expect, you know, great rounds of applause every time we serve you, but rather that we would be the ones living out of gratitude, that we would be the ones recognizing our position in this relationship with you, the incredible master, is that it's our honor to serve. And Jesus, most of all, I'm thankful for the fact that you demonstrated gratitude in your own life. That even though you were God, you didn't come demanding praise, you didn't come demanding accolades, but rather you yourself were a grateful servant. May we be more like you. Help us reflect on the things to be grateful for. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.